Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Who's got to be great if the Redskins are going to beat the Raiders? 12-18. Who has to shine if this team is going to pull off a win nobody around the country is predicting it to? 12:45, we'll go around the NFL, pick our favorite games of the weekend. 1 o'clock hour, Matt Fortuna is going to join us. We'll preview the best five college football games on the Saturday slate, including number 6, Oklahoma State, and number 16, TCU, which is going to be a blast.
I got that one circled. That's a good one.
Let's kick off your Beltway Blitz on the Pro Football Gridiron. Ben Standing covers the Skins, joins us on G&D. Ben, appreciate a couple of minutes. It sounds like Jordan Reed will play, Mason Foster will play. Will they be themselves, do you think?
I mean, look, Foster, you know, popped out, had his shoulder pop out, told him to pop it back in, makes the game-winning interception against the Rams. So I suspect after a few days of, you know, quote-unquote rest, you know, getting to take care of it, I suspect he'll be fine. You know, with Jordan Reed, look, if he's out there, you know, you like your chances, but, you know, it's, you know, we almost have to forget he was dealing with that toe injury. So, you know, he hasn't looked totally like himself yet, but, you know, for the most part, can't worry about him. And I mean, I'm not worried about him, I should say. And his presence on the field, obviously, is going to be a big focus for Oakland. So just him being out there alone, you know, should help.
Ben, is this the week the Redskins' passing game does things we're kind of familiar with them doing? They've gotten off to slow starts each of the last few years. We're kind of used to that. But at some point, they're going to need to throw the ball effectively, down the field even. Some guys, I guess, were open upon review of the film, according to a lot of people that know a lot. Do you think they get going this week, or are we going to have to wait some more?
I'm gonna say maybe we're going to have to wait a little bit. I saw some crazy stats today after that Rams game last night that Jared Goff already has 19 passes of at least 20 yards in three games, and I think Kirk Cousins has zero. This is not a Sean McVay comment. It's just a note to indicate that Kirk Cousins is not getting the ball down the field. I don't believe he even took one attempt last week going over 20 yards. Obviously, they had the run game going. You know, I'd like to see it, but yeah, I'd like to be optimistic and say this is going to happen. But, you know, the connection with Terrell Pryor hasn't been there yet. We've all talked about the Josh Doctson slow start. So I'm going to say, let me prove it to me before I say it's going to happen. And the Raiders have some interesting pieces in the secondary.
Are you saying Jared Goff's thrown the ball longer than 20 yards downfield 19 times, or he has 19 completions of 20 yards?
I think it's 19 completions of 20 yards. I mean, obviously, I don't know how many are runs and catches, but, you know, he has looked fairly aggressive at times. And, you know, Cousins last week, I believe, didn't have a single attempt of 20 yards or more.
Yeah. Ben Standing with us on Grant and Danny. In terms of the running game, they want to involve Chris Thompson more, and we get why. He's talented, but he's also not durable. How are they going to deal with that juxtaposition?
I think they got to stay in the lane that they're in. I think it would be a big mistake. Yeah, is Chris Thompson the best running back on this team? Yes, I think that's a fair statement to say, best overall running back. But if you start expanding his role where he's getting 35, you know, or, you know, he's in there for a lot more plays, and you're running him more in between the tackles on first down situations where he's not typically on, I think over time that just wears him down and limits what he's going to do. You want to keep him in those, you know, passing down situations where you can take advantage of what he does. You know, even if Rob Kelly is out, sounds like Rob Kelly will go. But even if he were to be out, I think you got to go P. Ryan and Mac Brown in those spots, keep Thompson where he is, and just kind of go from there.
Benjamin, thank you as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
I mean, there he goes. I'm going to talk Nationals, Tommy. Bring it our pal Byron Kerr covers the Nationals for Masson at Masson Kerr on Twitter. Byron, a few guys in this lineup right now scuffling a little bit. Looking at Daniel Murphy. Again, the sights are so high because of how great he's been, but Matt Wieters is hitting, I think, under 200 since the All-Star break. Jason Worth is 2 for a million since coming back. Running out of time to kind of get these guys going.
Yeah, I think the biggest one I forgot to mention yesterday was Matt Wieters, and that's the one that concerns me the most. He got a big RBI base knock last night. As I said yesterday, I think Daniel Murphy's going to be okay, still at 316. And once they get to the postseason, it'll be Daniel Murphy that we expect in the second season. But, yeah, I mean, I think these guys have seen the writing on the wall. They know they're ready for October 6th. They just wanted to get here and stay healthy. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm watching for right now between those guys. The thing that I'm checking in on is what are they going to do with Jose Lobatone and whether or not he is going to be the backup catcher because of everything he hasn't done this year, unfortunately. He does so many good things. But Pedro Severino might bring a little bit more to the table than Lobatone does, but you do not usually see Mike Rizzo make that kind of move into the postseason. It'll be interesting to see if he makes the roster.
Career high, 34 home runs for Ryan Zimmerman.
Yeah, I mean,
what can you say?
This is a special year for him. I mean, over 100 RBIs, as he said, and to get to 34, you know, he was obviously frustrated with a couple of fielding plays yesterday, threw his glove up in the air after one of them got by, so he made it up a little bit with that solo homer. But we've talked about it many times on this program about how strong he has been this year, how healthy he has been, and he could be one of those big major keys that we don't talk about. You know, guys like Steven Strasburg and Zimmerman, having everybody completely healthy for this second season, which comes up in a couple weeks, that could spell a big moment for them. And you know, he seems so revitalized, and he seems like the Ryan Zimmerman of 2009, and that's can all be good for the Nats.
Jason Worth, I think, 4 for 45 this month, down to 227 overall. They're at their best if Jason Worth is Jason Worth, doing the thing where he works counts, sees pitches, is getting the key base knock, etc. I just don't know. I don't know if that's here available to us at this point. Do you think there's any chance the decision gets made that that's Howie Kendrick is going to get the start, the nod in left field, assuming Bryce Harper comes back, or is it just Jason Worth we're riding with him no matter what?
Well, obviously Kendrick makes the team, and Worth will be the starter for game number one. But again, Dusty Baker loves Jason Worth, and as we said, we want to write that Cinderella story at the end of the season for Worth. But can they turn it on? That's a major question. Can the likes of Daniel Murphy and Jason Worth turn it on here starting October 6th? But he will start in left field if he's 100% healthy.
BK, thank you, buddy.
Good to see you guys.
Enjoy
see
having you on the Blitz. Let's talk Virginia Tech football. The voice of the Hokies is John Lazor. You can hear his calls on 106.7 The Fan. John, tell us about this matchup with Old Dominion.
Well, it's an interesting series, guys, in that, of course, it's in-state, and it's the dominant power, which we consider Tech to be within the state's confines against a program that just started in 2009. So clearly they don't have the history or the physical advantages in this matchup, but nonetheless it's intriguing because a lot of guys on our roster played against and with a lot of guys on Old Dominion's roster, and it's going to be very interesting to get our first look. And of course, with Clemson looming next week and all the things that might mean for this program, the look-ahead factor is definitely there as well.
John, let's go back to last week quickly. I was out and about doing a bunch of things, and I sat down, turned the game on. It was 17-7 in favor of the bad guys, talking about East Carolina. Virginia Tech ripped off 57 points and looked obviously like the better club, which they, of course, were. What sluggish start, something fluky kind of happened? What's your explanation there before Virginia Tech really got right?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, East Carolina came out and gave the Hokies the best shot, and I think they took advantage of one of the things that they saw in film, which was the linebackers getting sucked up off the play fake a little bit, and they hit a big one to their tight end over the middle on their first drive, and the Hokies kind of just lapsed then defensively and let the end of that drive be pretty easy. Got hit on kind of a fluke big play on their second drive defensively for Tech, where one of the corners, Greg Stroman, released a guy down the sideline and the safety didn't roll over the top, and it wound up being a pretty broken coverage and pretty easy touchdown. But the offense never struggled. One thing that East Carolina could not do was run the football and established drives, and they could not stop the run, nor Cam Phillips. So eventually, like you said, the better team took over and dominated, but they certainly came out a little bit flat-footed and got hit in the mouth.
John, real quick, give us the promotion for the broadcast people can hear this weekend and how they can check you out.
Yeah, it's interesting this week, guys. We got a rare 2 o'clock start time, so our pregame coverage will start at 12:30 here in Blacksburg at Hokie Village outside the stadium, and then we'll have the kickoff at 2:05, and we'll roll through the day as we always do on 106.7, so we look forward to it.
It'll be awesome. John, thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
See you, John.
College football weekend a day away. Matt Fortuna previews all the big matchups with us at 1 o'clock. Redskins, Raiders next. Who's got to be great if Washington's going to win? You're listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.